On the show today, we have Gonzo Bankers, Terrence Roach, and Sam Kilmer talking about the 2015 always entertaining Gonzo Banker Awards. So check it out. I mean, what's the aim of these prizes? I mean, they're very sarcastic and very clever, but they all ring true is the thing. So what's your aim with these awards each year?
You know, I don't think it's any more than we want to call out things that made us applaud during the year. We want to call out things that made us scratch our heads during the year. And we want to call out things that made us throw things at the wall during the year. anything that struck us as good, bad, or puzzling, we just pretty much wrap it all up at the end of the year and give awards.
Excellent. And I mean, going through them, I mean, like I said in the beginning, it's like they all ring very true. I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head with just about every one of them. So let's get started here. I mean, one of the things that really stood out for me and one of the things that I tweeted about this year was your new Challenge for Criminals Award, which was an idea bank in Poland. I mean, if you guys can go into a little bit more detail about this, I thought it was hilarious, but so true.
Yeah, it's interesting, that one. I mean, you have a situation where you have a bank that's essentially putting an ATM machine in a BMW and then giving an Uber-type app to customers so that they can sort of dial up, you know, bring the money to me, mm-hmm. or show me the money, to quote the Jerry Maguire, fans out there. Interestingly, I think one of the things we were thinking about internally, just sort of the way we think about things, I guess, but having a little fun with this, is we were trying to think, hey, you know, what's likely to happen here? What type of criminal, you know, there's always the fraudsters and the criminals that are looking for the angle. So we were thinking there's probably going to be a Nicolas Cage movie that's going to come out later that will talk about some type of a high-speed heist involving BMWs in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, an ATM machine.
Our upbringing, but our first thought was, how fast are we going to have a driver who gets loaded with cash and his or her first thought is going to be, how fast can I get to the border?
Exactly. No doubt. All right, let's move on to the next one here. Thank you, sir. May I have another, straight from Animal House, thank you very much, award. And that would be FFIC's Cybersecurity Self-Assessment Tool. Can you give us a little bit more details, gentlemen?
Well, I think our thought there was, we're going to call it the Piling On Award, too, but the thought that now we have a regulator who makes you fill out something that gives them the ammo to tell you what's wrong with you and what you had to do didn't quite fall all the way into the category of S&M, but it was getting darn close.
Yeah, you know, we were thinking, you know, while we would never encourage anybody to necessarily sandbag on these types of things, you know, you may not want to give yourself an A+ on year one, because I think as Brad Smith was quoting performing artist known as Drake, they don't have no award for that in terms of doing well in the first year, so might want to hold back on the A+.
But seriously, I mean, we just said to ourselves, what a no-win. A regulator gives you a self-assessment, and everything that I thought of that could happen was bad.
Exactly. Conversion of the year. One of the few times that credit unions were mentioned in the award, so I got to give them a shout-out, was Desert School's conversion to Correlations Keystone last year. It was a biggie. You know, obviously, Desert Schools is a very large credit union. Why did you guys mention them as conversion of the year?
Well, I think in the past, you know, and this was mostly from the bank side, a vendor making a leap to a new client, and Desert Schools was probably by a magnitude of 10 the largest client that had converted to this system.
Yep.
And it is fraught with peril, or had been on the bank side, and we held our breath like everybody else, but you know what? You got to give a thumbs up to the correlation team and the Desert Schools team. They pulled it off, and we know the Desert Schools folks well because they're just down the street. Yep. And, you know, we just said to ourselves, you got to give a thumbs up when a thumbs up is deserved, and correlation deserved a thumbs up.
Indeed.
But, you know, Mike, one other thing I would add to that is that while we did give that as a conversion of the year award, we also pointed to another conversion, Travis Credit Union's conversion to Fiserv DNA.
Yes.
Just sort of one of the big takeaways there from a business process standpoint, so it's not just about the technology, but how we go about the technology, was just how in the trenches and detail-oriented that conversion was, that went off, you know, without too much of a hitch at all. And so it was sort of I believe we gave it a CEO shout-out to Barry Nelson for getting personally involved in that one and really leading from the foxhole.
Yeah, I read that.
I think we wanted to give Barry a shout-out because in the past there was sort of the old Eisenhower conventional wisdom that leaders delegate and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, in this day and age, leaders get their fingernails dirty with their troops, and he was the classic example of someone who did that well last year.
Excellent, excellent. Glad to see these conversions are going, are doing pretty well, because usually that's like pulling teeth or getting a root canal type of situation. So it's good to see these conversions going well these days. All right, next one.
Conversions are not as much fun as a root canal.
They are not. One of my favorites was the Monty Python I'm Not Dead Yet Award with MCX. Can you explain, gentlemen?
Well, we'll pass on the English I'm Not Dead Yet.
You didn't pass at all. That was actually a pretty respectable English.
Respectable.
Very nice.
You know, MCX, the I'm Not Dead aspect of it was that there was this grand pronouncement, there were a lot of promises, they hired a CEO, and nothing happened. And there was a bit of an industry dismissal of MCX as not getting their act together. Currency was a lousy technology, how would you get all these retailers to work together? But the truth is, we kind of had Not Dead Yet, because it is well, now with Walmart Pay, we're not quite sure what happens, but it's plodding along, and the thing about MCX is if it ever hits traction, there is a big revenue impact on credit unions.
Okay.
And so we kind of wanted the Not Dead Yet was, let's don't throw the last bit of dirt on this coffin quite yet, because there's still a threat here.
Exactly. Sam?
A lot of power behind it.
Exactly. Well, that kind of segues me to the Apple Watch. You guys had a really interesting take on the Apple Watch. Can you guys expand on that one?
Yeah, well, here's a situation where obviously the big name in terms of innovative consumer launches, Apple, is just, you know, known almost comically for doing so well in their launches. But yet, the thing about the Apple Watch that struck us as so interesting, and we pointed to a separate article that was out that, you know, sort of showed it going into the junk drawer, is essentially it's just redundant. It's showing you what you already have on your phone.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, hey, look at your watch to tell you to look at your phone. Technology looking for a solution, if you will.
Yes, it's doubling your hardware that you got to carry around situation. So,
and expensively, by the way, it's a shout out to Apple for finding another way, a cute way to earn some revenue.
It ain't cheap. All right, game changer of the year. Let's give yourselves a pat on the back. Gonzo Banker introduces Gonzo Pay. What's up here, guys?
Walmart Pay wasn't enough.
Well, you know what? That's a nice tag to have on the end of your name. What we didn't put in there is the first 20 people who sign up for Gonzo Pay and give us that down payment are going to be first in line for that solution when it goes live.
Right. Good to know.
We think it has good chances against Trump Pay. We think it has good chances against Hillary Pay. Potentially Palin Pay and some others.
I like the Palin Pay.
And we're well along in development. We've worked out the process where everybody reaches into their pocket. So this is well underway.
Excellent, excellent. I think the point of it, though, was that anybody who puts pay at the end of their name, because Apple Pay, Walmart Pay, any type of pay, automatically it's like you're in the game, so to speak. And so you guys are kind of making a little parody of it. I enjoyed that.
That's the parody, but the serious part is it does reflect how much payments and payments revenue has integrated into retailing and buying experience, and what an emphasis everybody's putting on it. Yep. So we thought, well, we want our share too.
Exactly. All right, one of my favorites was Y2K Redo Award, which was the EMV hysteria in October 1st, 2015. I going through the Y2K thing when I was during my days at Symitar, all the core processors, all the credit unions were going, oh my, it's, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling type of thing. And it was almost kind of the same thing here. You know, October is coming, watch out, watch out. And it's kind of like it kind of landed with a thud.
Well, right. And in 01, we gave Y2K the thing for which the most work had been done for nothing to happen.
I remember.
And, you know, that kind of the similarity we saw was that MCX really all started with the Target breach, and it became front and center, and everybody had to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cure about 3% of the fraud, because all the fraud is fraud is card not present fraud.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It was, I think our angle a little bit was this is a lot of work to have not much happen day one.
I mean, the good news here is that think about how many merchant cashiers have had great conversations with customers about, no, you shouldn't swipe. You need to put the card in there.
Yeah.
And so that's a real positive conversation, I'm sure, for every Walgreens clerk nationwide.
It's an icebreaker, you know?
No doubt.
All right, and another one, this tongue firmly implanted in cheek on this one. No, but the topic nobody is writing about. Millennials. We can't swing a dead cat these days. And pardon those people, folks out there whose cat just died, but you can't swing a cat these days without hitting the term millennial. So it's almost like omnichannel.
Yeah, well, actually, and I think there's probably a statistic that says that 30% of the articles that talk about millennials also say omnichannel.
Yes.
So it's the buzzword crossover effect. But yeah, everybody seems to be writing about millennials, and I think if one thing we're all sort of starting to see in our LinkedIn feeds and our Twitter feeds every morning, it's how can we talk about demographic stereotypes in a whole new way? And the funny thing is we have all this behavioral information and payments information, all this good information in the credit union industry, and yet we continue to talk about demographic stereotypes.
Yes.
And the incremental difference between my 13-year-old Gen Z son and my 16-year-old Gen Y son and their arguments.
All of whom don't have any money.
Exactly,
right.
Yet.
But I think, seriously, the reason we put it near the back is we wanted to see if anybody was still reading.
I read it. And that's one of my New Year's resolutions, by the way, is not to say omnichannel or millennial in any write-up or anywhere, but I've already broken it because I've said it 3 or 4 times already.
As did we.
Thanks to you guys. All right, any honorable mentions, gentlemen, that you guys want to bring up in your collection of awards? There's quite a few of them, and they're all absolutely hilarious and absolutely true. Any others that you guys want to bring up?
Oh, I thought it was interesting that a Facebook executive speaking on a panel was talking about digital engagement and how we should meet the customers where they were, and then when all the panelists followed from the session, tweeted about it. He was the only one that didn't tweet about it, and we thought it was probably appropriate that a Facebook executive didn't have a Twitter handle. But so it's not quite omnichannel, perhaps unichannel, or, well, we don't care because we're not in the
solo channel. Yeah, we don't care because we're Facebook.
Right, exactly.
I probably my honorable mention would be ITMs, which is the Answer in Search of a Question Award, only because there is so much focus on this right now. And I personally haven't seen an ROI yet, but I think what strikes me is that ITMs may address several issues, but they don't address the fact that people aren't going into branches anymore, which is where the ITMs are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our question was, yeah, we get the technology is cool, but how do we fit this into a larger business case? It's a little bit like my dad used to say about the Irish, you know, they don't know what they're fighting about, but they're willing to die for it. We don't know why exactly we're doing ITMs, but it's a project.
Exactly.
So I think our question is, and don't get me wrong, we're not saying don't put in ITMs.
Right.
We're saying, how does this fit into our overall channel strategy and consumer member behavior?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, and I would say similar to that, the vendor management conversation has just been off the hook this year, and so much of it has just been around the bare minimum compliance of creating a risk rating, when, yeah, in fact, the strategic risk element associated with vendor management is, you know, how well are vendors performing for you and partnering with you, and also what's the cost associated? I mean, those are the two big nuts to crack.
Yep.
As much as, you know, just what the risk rating is.
Indeed. All right, gentlemen, to wrap up, I have one more for you. 2016, you say, is going to be the year of the troublemakers. What's your wrap-up comments on that one?
You know, if you look at what everybody is worried about, it's disruptors. There are lending disruptors outside the industry. There are payments disruptors outside the industry. We just think this is a year where some folks inside the credit union have to become internal disruptors and just start forcing change and forcing conversation. We would call that good troublemaking.
I like that as well. I like that.
Taking market share. You know, I think some folks have called her the commercial that a few years ago, sticking it to the man.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know, how are credit unions going to go out there and create those campaigns and new products and services to go out and take market share away from the large, you know, Wall Street too big to fail banks?
Yeah.
And we think that's a healthy bit of competition.
I concur. Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Enjoyed it as always. Can't wait for your 2017 awards as well. We'll cover those at the end of the year. So thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Always fun.
My pleasure.
All right, guys.